This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
To let your cat outside or not, the pros and cons are limitless. Pros: envision your cat scampering up trees, stalking butterflies in the tall grass, or lazily basking in the sun. What an idyllic life for a cat. Cons: the cat fight on your back fence that results in a deep bite wound and the subsequent deadly feline immunovirus FIV infection. It can contract, and sadly, it can die from that. Or encounters with a speeding car as it attempts to cross the street. And let's not forget about the mauling on your own property by a free roaming dog. Cats love to go outside, but we know there are innumerable dangers just beyond your back door, even in your backyard. But is it fair to keep them solely inside? Won't they get bored, fat, destructive? What can concerned, responsible cat owners do to keep their cats and the wildlife that cats are drawn to predate safe? Dr. Kelly St. Dennis is the president of the American Association of Feline Practitioners. She's certified with the American Board of Veterinary Practitioners in the specialty of feline practice. Dr. St. Dennis is proudly one of the six Canadian feline specialist members of Cat Healthy Canada. We're going to be right back after this short break.
So now I've got this pack of four Shar Pei rescue dogs for, oh my goodness, probably 5-6 years. They get a regular diet of Dynavite with every meal.
DINOVITE.com.
People remark on what beautiful coats they've got. I tell them, you don't need to wait until a problem presents itself. It's far better to keep the dog happy and healthy at all times.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Dr. St. Dennis, thank you so much for being a guest again. You were on 2 years ago and you were fabulous.
Well, thank you very much for having me again. I always enjoy doing these interviews. It's very good to be able to help people with their cats and their health.
Well, anyone who's listened to this show for a period of time knows that I have two cats, and I have to admit, I'm in a condo situation. I have upstairs, downstairs, little patio upstairs, and I let them out into my backyard patio, and periodically, my youngest one is a stinker, and she tries to escape. So in general, is it better for cats to be indoors?
So having your cat indoors is definitely safer from the perspective that when they are outside, they are exposed to a lot of risks. So being hit by a car, mauled by another animal in the yard, or even if they're wandering around, and then getting into fights and potentially contracting infectious diseases. But when they are inside, we have to think about their activity level and their mental stimulation. So our cats are hunters. They're naturally wild and want to hunt for their food. So they need mental stimulation. And what we refer to this in the industry now is called environmental enrichment. So rather than just giving them their food in a bowl and, you know, their beds and their litter boxes, we need to consider what toys do they like? How can we play with them on a regular basis? What can we do to stimulate them mentally so that they aren't just laying around and eating and really not doing anything? Because that can lead to health problems as well.
So you have a cat that's indoors and it's nice and safe. But you're saying environmental enrichment. It sounds like it's going to be time intensive and expensive. What are some things that we can do indoors? I know for my own cats, and right now, anyone looking at the house, I'm glad that I'm a single lady, single crazy cat lady, because that crunchy paper that you put in presents,
yeah,
I got a big glump of this stuff, quantity of it. And I put it in my bathtub, closed the drain, and I put it in the bathtub and put some kitty little fake mousies in there. And you would think that they had just died and gone to heaven. This is the best messy cat thing, because of course that paper is all over the house now too. Mm-hmm. So here's something inexpensive that they're playing with, and I just have to clean up pretty soon.
Exactly. So you've identified some things that your cats like to do in the house. So every cat's going to have different preferences for the way that they like to play and the toys that they like to play with. And we don't have to spend a lot of money to figure those things out. And we can do a lot of do-it-yourself or DIY projects at home. Most of us are on Pinterest or can search on Google for different DIY things that we can do for toys. But the other way to stimulate our cat's mental activity is to actually stop putting all of their food in a bowl. So whether it's dry food or canned food, there are a lot of products available now where we can put their food into toys and different types of contraptions where they actually have to work to get the food out. And again, you don't have to spend a lot of money on these things because there are a lot of options for do-it-yourself projects, like taking an eggshell container that you've gotten your eggs out and taking the lid off and just setting kibble in the bottom of the egg pits where the eggs were sitting and making your cat scoop the dry food out of there. So then they're suddenly having to work to eat their food and they're having to think about how they're getting it out. And that's mentally stimulating and actually better for their health than if they're just eating it out of a bowl.
Seems like that would slow them down, because I know a lot of cats are little piglets, and especially if there's two cats in the family, it's like, I better eat everything right now because the other cat's going to come and eat it. So that might not be a bad idea. Again, with my two cats, one of them I think is maybe a little intellectually challenged. So I have several feeding puzzles, et cetera. And I know that one of them can really, you know, do a Rubik's Cube, I'm sure, better than I can.
Right.
The other one, it has to be really very, very basic.
Yeah.
Or she can't get the food out.
Yes. And so there's going to be some level of differences between cats. And that's where the do-it-yourself options are really great, because you can explore different types of puzzles and feeding toys and see which ones that your cat does best with. And as you've probably noticed, your cat will start at a certain level, and that the more they do, the better they get. But you can definitely pick something that's to their level of expertise, if you will.
So you have a cat that is going to be totally indoors. You know, we said, yes, they may go outside, get into that cat fight, get exposed to infectious diseases. So now you have this little cloistered kitty. And oftentimes I am just surprised and aghast. Clients will bring in a cat going, oh, hi, welcome to the practice. You've never seen you before. Or, gee, I didn't know you had this cat at home. Mm-hmm. When was the last time this cat was vaccinated? It's totally indoors, doctor. Why do I need to get my cat vaccinated? Why do I need to have my pet seen by a veterinarian?
That is a big question and a really big problem that we have with cats. So we do have a lot of statistics to show that dogs go to the veterinarian at least once or twice a year. And some cats, you know, they go when they get spayed and neutered and then they never go again until they're older and sick. And the reality is that they do need medical care. And in fact, they need to see a veterinarian more in a needy point of view than a dog does, because dogs are more apt to show if they're not well or if they're sore, they limp. But cats have not been domesticated as long as dogs have. And so their intention is to hide everything, even from their loved family and even in the comfort of their own home. It is instinctive for them to keep any illness or signs of illness to themselves, because they still have that sense inside of them that if they're out in the wild and they limp or they're slow, then they're going to unfortunately end up as somebody else's lunch. So it's very instinctive for them to hide everything. So your veterinarian is the person that can help you to help identify problems that you may not see just by living with your cat day to day and watching them. And at home, of course, you're going to look for subtle changes, but by going in every year, and as they become 10 and older, going in twice a year, your veterinarian is going to have that opportunity to pick up on subtle changes before your cat gets really sick. And I think the other aspect that you touched on is the issue of vaccines. And I would also add parasite prevention to that, that we somehow like to think that our cats indoors are living in some type of bubble and they're protected from the environment and outside. But the reality is we're bringing things in on our shoes and our clothing, and other people that come into our homes are bringing things in as well. And things come in through the windows and the doors. So mosquitoes, for example, carry heartworm. And heartworm can infect cats. So that's a perfect example of a parasite that our indoor cats can get. And we won't see it. It won't be obvious until they're sick. So they definitely need to be protected from the common diseases that we can vaccinate against. And they need to be on regular parasite prevention too.
I always love it when clients come in and I find fleas on their cats. And they are just amazed. It's like, wait, my cat is totally indoors. How did this happen? So oftentimes if they have a dog, well, it makes sense. And that dog went outside, it roamed the neighborhood, you know, going on a walk with the owners. It came back in, even if that dog were on flea preventive, a flea could just wait, jump off, find the cat going, yes, you know, have a nice meal and continue on with its life cycle. And the cat didn't even have to have a lot of fleas to still have an issue. I always tell people fleas can jump as far as a mile in a day, and a screen door, they can squeeze on through or come in on their owner's clothing. So many different ways for fleas to come into a home. And then you were talking about vaccinating bats. So it's like, why do I need to have my cat vaccinated for rabies? I'm sure you have some good examples. And one that I'll always tell clients, in my own area, there was a rabid bat that they didn't know, of course, at the time that it was rabid, that flew into the home. And here's this little cat minding his own business in the home, mm-hmm. who goes, whoa, something that's in my home and it kind of looks like a bird and it's not flying really well. I can get it. And then they found out it was rabid. So thankfully the cat was okay because it was vaccinated, but otherwise.
Yes. And I think a lot of people don't consider that rabies is a disease that kills humans. It's almost invariably going to kill a human if they get infected. So if your cat accidentally contracts rabies inside your home and you don't know, you in turn also could become infected, or your family, one of your family members. So for that reason, absolutely, the rabies vaccine for indoor cats is very important. And then we have some upper respiratory viruses that you know of, as you know, that can be passed through screens or come in on our clothing if we've been interacting with other cats somewhere else that have sneezed on us. And so if our cats see other cats through the screen at home, then that also can be transmitted that way. So vaccines are really important.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you really are stressing that, because yes, I am a firm believer. And I think people sometimes think that veterinarians are just trying to get more money because we're recommending vaccines that cats don't need. Speaking of vaccines, what are the core vaccines? How often do they need to get them?
So the core vaccines would start obviously with the rabies vaccine, and there we're protecting our cat and also the humans in the family and the humans that are circulating through the home. But the other vaccine is referred to as the FVRCP, and that's our little short form. It protects against three different viruses. So there's a feline herpes virus and a feline calici virus and a feline panleukopenia virus that can be very contagious. As I said, some of these can transfer on aerosols, so through sneeze, so the cats can still get them if they are indoors. And so those would be the core vaccines for indoor cats. When our cats come into the veterinary clinic as kittens, our veterinarian should also be recommending a vaccination against feline leukemia virus, because our kittens are very susceptible to that virus. So even if we're planning on keeping them indoors, that virus is transmitted between cats. So if we have other cats in our household and we don't know what their status is, that's a concern. But the vaccine will help to protect the kitten. And then as we move into their adulthood, if they're not going outside and not interacting with any unknown cats, then we can discontinue that particular vaccine. But it is core for kittens.
And we all say, oh yes, my cat is totally indoors. Has it ever escaped? Oh yeah, it was about a year ago. It made it out the front door. I was bringing groceries in and I didn't see the cat, and it scooted out and it was out for 2 hours. And I was just tearing my hair out. Where's my cat? And who knows what that little kitty did in those 2 hours while it was out and about and what it got exposed to. So yes. Well, I'm having the pleasure right now of speaking cats with Dr. Kelly St. Dennis. She is a certified member of the specialty in feline practice, and she practices in Canada. So if you hear a little bit of a, yeah, you betcha, that's where she's from. So we're going to be right back after this short break, and we talked about cats being indoors. Now let's talk about getting them outdoors. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
For those fortunate to have experienced the deep bond and unconditional love of a companion animal, the death that follows can be one of the most difficult and misunderstood losses to go through. Many times, this devastating loss goes unrecognized and trivialized by family and friends, leaving grieving pet parents struggling to find healthy ways to cope with the loss. In And I Love You Still, a thoughtful guide and remembrance journal for healing the loss of a pet, Dr. Julianne Corbin calls attention to the difficulties unique to the loss of a beloved pet and provides an interactive and compassionate guide to help you process your loss and work towards coming to a place of peace and healing. For those interested in journal therapy and looking for a professionally written and compassionate resource to help understand and reconcile the grief associated with the loss of your pet, this book is for you. And I Love You Still, a thoughtful guide and remembrance journal by Julianne Corbin, is now available for purchase on Amazon and other major book retailers.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. St. Denis, all right. We know that some people just are going to really want to let their cats go outside. And I said in the start, I have a condominium and I have a balcony. Is it safe to have your cats out on a balcony all the time?
Balconies are not an ideal place for our cats to go. They have an issue with depth perception from the height perspective. So thinking about how high up they are, and if there's a balcony wall there and it's not very high, they will sometimes jump over that wall, not expecting the ground not to be on the other side of the wall. So we do have situations where cats will jump off of balconies and can be severely injured or killed. And I always tell my clients, you know, if they actually have a name for this problem, it's called feline high-rise syndrome. So if they've given a name to it, it happens a lot. And so it's best not to have your cat on your balcony unless you've actually screened it in and it's secure.
I have to admit, this was kind of a setup. When I first moved into my condominium, cats totally indoors. It was one evening. All of a sudden, I awoke to the sound of like cat fights, like, my cats are indoors. They're not fighting with each other. Where is this noise coming from? And I looked over the side of the bed to the sliding glass door that was closed. And one of my cats is on, of course, my side, and it's screaming at something on the other. It's like, what is there? There's a really large distance from the balcony to the fence, the community fence. There's can't be anything there. What's this cat looking at? And I got up, looked outside, and here's a cat on my balcony. It's like, really?
Wow.
And found out it was a neighborhood cat that somehow had learned that it could get on people's fences, throw itself across this abyss and make it through the railing and get onto other people's balconies.
That's amazing.
And make it into their homes, which at one time came into my home and started a fight in the house. So yeah.
Balcony. That's not something I would have ever thought could happen.
Neither did I, but yes. So after securing it, so now the cats can't go up, over, etc. Periodically, I'll let them on the balcony, but yes, even balconies can be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think is fairly new, and it shows how much people are really attached to their kitties and what they're willing to pay many times, are catios.
Yes.
Please explain, what are catios? They are fabulous.
I agree. Catios are fabulous. So I'm glad we're talking about this. So catio is kind of like a cat patio, and it can be anywhere from like a small area that's been made, say, even a few feet square, where the cat can sit on the lawn, but it's actually enclosed with, say, a frame with chicken wire, so nothing can get into the cat, nothing can get out, to some very elaborate catios that people build off the side of their house with walkways to bigger structures. Sometimes people put holes in the walls or open the window up so the cat can get in and out at will. It is amazing what people have done, and I'm still trying to figure out how to build one on my house because I want one for my cats who are all indoors as well.
So you can Google catio, and I totally agree. Some of these going, I want to live out there. They'll have water features and they'll go to trees, but it's totally enclosed. Yeah, it is amazing what people have come up with, how creative they are. And they're so safe because now the cat's not going anywhere.
Yes, and they are beautifully safe. So as long as obviously, you know, someone isn't leaving them out there when they're not home to make sure nothing happens or there's inclement weather. But it also is so good for their mental health. So, you know, the outdoors is a better place for them periodically for stimulation. But the whole risks of them being loose are so difficult to outweigh that benefit. So having the catio, you've got the best of both worlds, and their mental health really can benefit from being outside and just seeing a different world.
Where I live, there's a lot of coyotes. And I, for a period of time, lived in another, it was a home, and I had a little dog. And I knew that if Juanita went outside, she was going to turn into coyote bait. So I had kind of a modified catio at the time, and she could go in and out, and the cats could go in and out. So it really was nice. I didn't have to worry about the cats, and I didn't have to worry about Juanita the dog.
It's so nice to have that peace of mind. And then know you're doing something good for your pets, so they have that extra environment to go into.
Now, people are always concerned about, depending where you live, coyotes or other things getting in your backyard. And they go, oh, yeah, but I have like this 5-foot fence. What are the dimensions, do you know, of how high it needs to be to really keep your cat in and anything else out?
I'm not entirely sure about the answer to that question, to be honest with you. I would think that 5 feet is probably not tall enough. I mean, we know our cats can jump fairly high. And if there's anything nearby that they can climb, and then as you said, that other cat launched itself onto your balcony, I mean, they might launch themselves from a tree. And the same would apply to things coming in from the outside that might climb the fence or get on from a tree or some other thing that helps them climb up. So a lot of times I think that like 5 feet is not going to be tall enough, probably need very high. Some of their products that are available for cats include things that you can put on your fence that curve inward and they're like sort of mesh so the cat can't get onto the fence and get over and out of the yard. But that's not necessarily going to stop other animals from coming in either.
One thing I did see, and I thought it was pretty creative, and looking at the advertisements for it, the videos going, oh yeah, that would be very frustrating for a cat, is called an ocelot, O-S-C-I-L-L-O-T. And it's this device that you put on the top of your fence. So as a cat jumps up there and goes to grab onto the edge, it spins. So the cat can't get purchased. So it goes, whoa. And it falls back into the yard, or if something's on the other side again, trying to get purchase on the top of that fence, it can't do so. It's like, oh, sneaky. All right.
Sneaky. But as you said, maybe potentially frustrating for the cat when they
will try again.
Yes.
So at the beginning in the introduction, I talked about cats going out, and cats are cats. You know, when they're in the house, if a fly comes in the house, like, whoa. I can get that fly. I am the great hunter. But when they're outside, yes, they're going to be going after bugs and lizards and birds, etc. Any idea what is the impact of cats on wildlife?
I think we have a couple of different groups of people that would argue one way or the other and say that cats have a lot of impact, particularly on bird populations. And I think there's some evidence to show, I mean, they're hunting birds, that they may have an impact, but there's certainly a lot of other things that we do as humans that impact those populations as well. So I'm not clear 100% on the true statistics associated with that. And certainly if our cats are in the yard and they're not out roaming about and hunting, and that's not their only source of food, most of the time they're not actually going to do a lot of hunting or killing. And I certainly encourage people not to have bird feeders in their yard if they let the cat in the yard, because then you're just asking for a disaster. So yeah, I'm not 100% sure. We do try to discourage by encouraging people to put bells on their cat's collars and just noises that will alert the bird, so there's less of a chance that they're going to actually successfully kill that animal, catch it.
And if you do have a cat that is totally indoors and is not outside, and you're setting up, you know, the fast food station for that bird so the cat can go, thank you, I appreciate that. Bird feeders are awesome because, yes, they get bored. But if you have reality TV out there by setting up a bird feeder close to a window where your cat can perch and watch it during the day, it's like, wow, look at that little bird. I can almost taste its feathers. And recently, I do have to admit, I now found several YouTube channels that have cat videos. So my cats now know when mommy turns on the TV, they're sitting there and they're waiting because there's bird ones and there's mousy ones and there's all these various videos. So you can have enrichment in the house by, yes, turning on the boob tube.
Having them watch it. And then they also have iPad games for cats. So tablet games, which I'm sure you've seen. So there's, you know, I think Frisky's had an app for cats and my cats used to play it quite frequently. And it was always interesting to watch the different responses. Again, cats with different toys, different feeding puzzles. And in this case, it was an app. The one cat would like had the high score in the household. She would always get the mouse, but the other cat would try to lift up the tablet to look underneath it to see where the mouse went. So it was always interesting to watch how they interacted with that as well.
All right. So I want to take my cat outside. I want to be safe and I want to take it for a walk. One of the things that it seems almost impossible to do is put a cat on a harness, a leash, and get it out for a walk. But again, you go to YouTube and you see these cats walking in Central Park, New York. I'm sure other places too, of being on a harness. I've tried putting a harness on my cats and they turn into little land crabs. They just sit there with their legs out going, I am not moving.
It's broken. Take it off.
Yes. So what am I doing wrong? How are you supposed to do this?
I think there's got to be a training process with the harness to begin with, where you might be putting it on them just a couple minutes each day and then gradually increasing and doing positive things while they're wearing it. But I think one of the best things is if clients think they're going to want to do this when they get the kitten, is the best time to start this kind of exposure. So just having the harness on the cat and having the cat on a leash is one thing, but actually asking them to walk places is yet another feat, right? Because we're asking them to go somewhere they may not be comfortable going. So we have to think about cats as, we always think about them as hunters, but they're also hunted. So by putting them on a leash and asking them to walk places that they may not be comfortable, they may feel threatened, they're just going to lay down on the ground and go, I'm not going with you. It's dangerous out there. There could be somebody that eats me for lunch, so I'm going to stay here. So I think, again, that's got to be one thing that you get your cat used to, either gradually or especially starting them off when they're young. So I've seen, and we have a board member who has a cat that goes wakeboarding with him and travels to our board meetings, and she's just the chillest cat ever. But she's been doing that since she was a kitten. And so, you know, Bug is really chill and into all this stuff. But if we just ask our six-year-old cat, for example, to start doing these things, I think we're asking a bit much, because they're really accustomed to where they're living. They like to be creatures of habit. They like to know their environment and that there are no predators around. And so when we start asking them to do these unusual things, we're actually probably really just stressing them out and not benefiting their quality of life.
And then you have this indoor cat, or if you have an outdoor cat, and one of the things I always stress with clients comes in, here's this cute little naked kitty. Like, where's its collar? It's totally indoors. Why do I need a collar? Because earthquakes, fires, floods, fires, anything can happen.
Indoors, yeah.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden the cat is outdoors and it knows its name, but nope, I am scared. I'm not coming to anyone. So I would love to hear your views on microchipping and ID collars and the type of collars they should wear.
So from the perspective of microchipping, we recommended to our clients that every cat be microchipped. And we get the same argument. Oh, the cat's indoors. Why do they need a microchip? Well, in my opinion, those cats actually need the microchip more than anything, because at least the outdoor cat knows his neighborhood, knows where he's going, and is not going to get lost unless he gets injured. So he really needs a microchip too. But the indoor cat, when they get outside, they don't know where they are. And so if they get frightened and they run away somewhere, they're not going to know how to get home. So their need for a microchip really is even higher than an outdoor cat. And so we used to offer discounts to our clients for their spays and neuters. We would do the microchip for free, which is not what every veterinarian is going to do. But when your veterinarian asks you if you want the microchip with the spay and neuter, even there's a cost associated with it. The cost is really nominal, and it usually covers that microchip company maintaining the data on your cat for a long time, for its lifetime. So it's really worth it. So definitely microchip. And then collars are really helpful because they visually identify your cat to people in the neighborhood. This cat is owned, this cat is cared for. But as we know, collars can be dangerous. So if cats are outside and they get hung up by their collar on a tree branch, they potentially can be hung there and pass away from being hung there for so long. So we do want to make sure that we're purchasing breakaway collars. And of course, the frustration with that is I've had clients who have come and they're like, I'm so tired of buying these collars because every time the cat goes outside, he comes back and there's no collar. So it can be a little frustrating, but that's the kind of collar that you do want to get, because then you're going to know that the cat's not going to get hung up somewhere. If there's a pull on the collar because they're stuck, the collar will release and the cat can go free.
Dr. St. Denis, I think we could keep going on for another half hour. If you had some last words of wisdom, indoor, outdoor, what would they be for that cat owner?
I think one of the number one things I try to encourage people to look at now that we're really thinking about is your cat's mental health. So we think about physical health, and yes, they need to see the veterinarian, but what are they doing to have a good quality of life during the day that they're not just lopping around the house and sleeping all the time? Are they happy? Are they interacting with you? Are we providing them with what they need to have all their natural resources around them to keep them happy and in good mental health?
Excellent. Well, just some fabulous words of wisdom. I think I need to get some more mental stimulation for my kitties indoors, see if I can make sure they don't want to go outside. Bad habit that I started, not them. So Dr. Kelly St. Denis is the president of the American Association of Feline Practitioners, and she's certified with the American Board of Veterinary Practitioners in the specialty of feline practice. And you can tell listening to her, she knows her kitties. Dr. St. Denis is also proudly one of the 6 Canadian feline specialist members of Cat Healthy Canada. Dr. St. Denis, thank you so much. I don't think I'm going to wait 2 years to have you back on again. You're excellent.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Hopefully you'll come back again next week. We'll give you more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.